with us. Well, we're in the fourth week of a series, Fall Back, Move Forward. And in this series, we're in the books of 1st and 2nd Samuel. If you've never read those books, I want to encourage you to read those books. They're filled with some great stories, some great lessons. We're looking at just a few snapshots of those stories, so if you want a bigger picture, you want to dig a little bit deeper, I want to encourage you to jump in those books and read those stories as we're in this series, the middle of this series right now. What did we learn the other week? What did we learn the other week when we last left off? Well, we learned that Saul grew impatient waiting for Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice. I don't know about you, but I am extremely impatient. I don't like to wait for anything. Even the microwave in the morning, 30 seconds to put something in. I'm like, when's it going to get done, right? And so Saul, I see myself in him. He grew impatient waiting for Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice. So he took matters into his own hands, and he offered the sacrifice. This was a sin. Why? Because he was being disobedient to God and his commands. What was the consequence for taking matters into his own hands, doing what he wanted to do, doing his thing? He was rejected as the king of Israel. It's a pretty big deal. Did he feel remorse? Was he sorry for what he had done, for not listening to the Lord and obeying his commands? Let's jump right back into the story here, right back into Scripture. 1 Samuel 15, verse 24. Then Saul admitted to Samuel, Yes, I have sinned, and I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command, for I was afraid of the people. He was afraid of the people and what they thought, and did what they demanded. But now please forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel replied, I will not go back with you. Since you have rejected the Lord's command, he has rejected you as the king of Israel. What happened here? Samuel didn't accept his apology. Samuel didn't accept his apology. Why? Perhaps because he knew it wasn't genuine. How do we know this? Because of the way Saul responded. Let's read on here. Verse 30. Then Saul pleaded again. I know I have sinned, but please at least honor me. Honor me, it was once again about him. Honor me before the elders of my people. It was once again all about appearances and before Israel by coming back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel finally agreed and went back with him, and Saul worshiped the Lord. So what's going on here? Saul is once again concerned about appearances rather than worshiping the Lord. Samuel finally agrees to go, but only because of Saul's shameless persistence. Here's a question for you. Why is today's church attender concerned about? What is today's church attender concerned about? The church goer of today, in general. Appearances, right? Making an appearance rather than worshiping the Lord. How do we know this? Because statistics tell us across all churches and all denominations that the average regular church attender comes once a month. Right? Statistically, that's what they tell us today. Now, I know that's not anyone here because you're above average. You come every Sunday. Right? Well, Saul fit into this category of the average regular church attender. Why? Because he believed as the set the tone. He had the same model that my grandma had, who passed away several years ago. I'm my own boss. Nobody tells me what to do. That's what grandma would say. And it was because Saul had this attitude that he was going to take matters into his own hands. He was going to do what he wanted to do, that the Lord sought out a man after his own heart. Now, who was that man? You know the story. It was David. David, what do we know about David? Well, David wasn't the first one picked, right? Remember in grade school lining up and seeing who's going to pick you to be on their dodgeball team? David wasn't the first one picked. In fact, he wasn't even invited to the party. You may remember the Lord told Samuel to go to Bethlehem. The Lord told Samuel to go to Bethlehem, and there he would find a man named Jesse and anoint one of his sons to be the next king. Right? To be the next king. Samuel took one look at Jesse's oldest son, Eliab, and he noticed his appearance. He noticed that he was tall, that he was handsome, that he was good-looking, and he thought to himself, surely, based on his appearance, surely this is the Lord's anointed one. This is the one that the Lord wants me to anoint as the next king of Israel to replace Saul. What did the Lord say to Samuel? Right? What did the Lord say? 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord has said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by what? By the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? The Lord looks at the heart. Which leads me to ask the question, why are we so concerned about the outward appearance? Why are we so concerned about the outward appearance? Growing up, we had a cottage up north in Michigan, about 2 hours from the Upper Peninsula, and it was on a lake called Higgins Lake, a beautiful lake, a spring-fed lake. You could see the bottom in 20 feet deep of water. It was so crystal clear. Loved living there and going there in the summer there at our cottage. And it was about 4 hours from our home. And there at our cottage, we bonded with our neighbors. That was their cottage. They lived kind of around the Detroit area there in Michigan. And we became friends with them. They had three kids, a Tammy, a Peggy, and Tommy. And since Tammy, she was several years older than me, and Peggy was 3 years older than me, and Tommy was 6 years younger than me. And since he was the only boy, I did everything with Tommy. We would ride our bicycles down the dirt road and go to the local market and get ice cream. We played baseball out in the front yard there, and we'd go fishing together. And then something happened. About the time I turned 14, I started to notice Peggy. I started to notice Peggy about that time, and all of a sudden everything began to change. And to her, I was the boy next door who played with her little brother. But to me, she was the girl of my dreams. How did I believe as a young boy I would get this girl's attention? Well, it was my appearance. It was my good looks that would get her attention. I believe that was the most important thing. And so every time I went in the house, I would wet my hair down and I would put gel in it in the hope that as I was playing with her little brother, Tommy, Peggy would walk by and see me and just fall into my arms. Looking back on it, I can only imagine how silly I looked. several years later, I had the opportunity to attend Peggy's home church. And there in the lobby, in the foyer, was a guy sitting on a bench, and his name was Rob. And Rob was kind of dorky, kind of geeky, and he needed a ride home. And Peggy felt sorry for him. I lived over an hour away, and so I drove myself home. The next time I saw Peggy, guess who was with her at the cottage? Rob. Rob, the geeky, dorky-looking guy, was with her. And she said to me, "He makes me laugh." And as it turned out, Peggy married that guy. I got to know him, and Rob was and is a great guy who had a heart and a love for the Lord and for others, and he was funny. And isn't that what matters in life? A heart for the Lord and others. It's not our outward appearance that matters. It's the heart, right? It's our heart for the Lord and others. It's our love for the Lord and others that matters. Well, Samuel, as we mentioned, took one look at Jesse's oldest son, Eliab, based on his appearance, based on his height. He said, "This was the man." But the Lord said, "What? That's not the man," right? So he asked to see the rest of Jesse's. Let's jump right back into the story here. 1 Samuel 16. In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats." See, they didn't even invite him. They didn't even ask him to come to this. "Well, send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, "This is the one. This is the one. Anoint him." Now, I know the text says he was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. However, that's not why David was chosen. David was chosen because he had a heart for the Lord. He had a love for the Lord, first and foremost. We see his heart for the Lord in the way he responded to the Philistine Goliath. Right? We see his heart. We see what really matters to David in his response to Goliath. You know the story. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. But I come to you in what? In the name of the Lord of heaven's armies." There's power in that name. There's power in his name. "The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle. This is his battle, and he will give you to us." You know, at some point or another, we all come face to face with a Goliath in our lives, right? At some point or another, we all come face to face with this giant of an issue, giant of a problem in our lives. It's just heavy on our hearts and heavy on our minds. Maybe you're facing a Goliath right now in your life. It could be something that someone else might look at and say, "Well, that's not that big of a deal." But to you, it's a big deal. Right? It really bothers you. It really upsets you. It's growing bigger every day. Could be a pushes your buttons, or a boss that is just really hard to get along with, that's challenging, that's difficult, that you're working for. Could be a class that you're like, I don't know how I'm going to pass this class. I remember my statistics class freshman year at Michigan State. It was taught by this Russian professor who spoke this broken English. I couldn't understand a word he said. I immediately went to the help room after the class, and there sitting next to me was a lady in her 30s, and when you're 18 years old, someone who's in their 30s looks like they're 100 years old, right? And she said to me, this is the third time I've taken this class. How many times have you taken it? And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm never going to pass this class, right? I got this guy teaching in Russian, and this lady tells me it's her third time. Maybe your Goliath is a class, right? Maybe it's a marriage that looks irreconcilable, right? You're having problems speaking to one another, talking with one another, can't get anything resolved. Maybe it's a financial debt that seems insurmountable. The bill keeps piling up. Whatever it is, it's a problem that seems to grow bigger every day in your life. What do you do? What do we do? Well, you come at it in the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies. Right? We come at it in the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies. You speak truth into your situation by saying to it, the Lord will conquer you. You see, the battle you've been fighting, it's not yours to fight. It's not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. He hasn't brought you this far in life for you to be defeated by your Goliath. For you to be defeated by this. Well, what are we to do in the meantime? Give the Lord what we got. Give him what we got. In David's case, it was a what? It was a sling and a stone. That's what he had. And so that's what he gave to the Lord. Jumping right back in Scripture, verse 48. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag, that's what he was reaching for, and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. Here's a question for you. What is it you're reaching for today? The lady in this opening video, she said, I just want time for me. And so she was surfing the web. That was her escape. That's what she reached for when she was lonely or hurting. I don't know what it is that you're reaching for. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're discouraged or sad today. And you're reaching for something to fill that emptiness, the hurt, the pain, the void. Could be the bottle. Could be porn. Could be working more, that you're just filling your life up with more and more work so that you don't have to think about your Goliath, your problem, the thing that you know is there, but you don't want to address it. What is it you've been reaching for to take the edge off? You see, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. How do you know when you're ready to be used by the Lord? How do you know when you're ready to be used? When you've had enough of the stuff that isn't working in your life. I don't want any more. Peter said this, 1 Peter 4:3. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality and lust, yes, I've had enough of that. Their feasting and drunkenness, yeah, I don't want to do that. And wild parties and their terrible worship of idols? If you're like me, you don't want to worship the things of this world. Yes, Lord, I don't want to worship the things of this world. They leave me empty and unfulfilled. What then must we do? Turn from these things and turn to the Lord. What happens when we do this? When we turn from the junk and the garbage and the stuff that we've been feeding us, right? We say, I'm not going to feed off of that anymore. That's not good for me. And we turn to Jesus. What happens? Paul says, 2 Timothy 2:21, if you keep yourself pure, if you turn from that junk, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Why did the Lord use David to defeat Goliath? Why did he use David to defeat Goliath? Because David was only concerned about one thing, defending the honor of his God. That's what David was concerned about, defending the honor of his God. Saul, on the other hand, was only concerned about one thing, defending his honor. It was all about him. How do we know this? Because the way he responded after David killed Goliath. Do you remember how he responded? Let's read on. 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistines, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song. Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000. This made Saul very angry. Maybe you're here this morning and you're angry. You're upset. What's this, he said? They credit David with 10,000 and me? What about me? What about me? With only thousands? Next, they'll be making him their king. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. He had his eye on him. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we do the things that we do? Often it's because we want what others have. Right? We want what others have. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 4:4, I love that book, then I observed that most people are motivated to success. Why? Because they envy their neighbors. But this too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Saul wanted what David had. What did David have? He had a fear for the Lord. He had a love for the Lord. He had a heart for the Lord. And Saul missed this entirely. And sad to say, I think we too end up missing it. This fear for the Lord, this reverence for God, this love for him, this heart for him. You know, ironically, later in life, David missed it too. David got distracted. He got busy. He started chasing other things. Do you remember what the prophet Nathan said after David committed adultery with Bathsheba? 2 Samuel 12, verse 7. Then Nathan said to David, you're that man, right? You're the man who for a brief moment in time lost your way, lost your focus, lost your direction. You started chasing other things, right? And in this case, this woman. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you, King of Israel, and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdom of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord? Why have you turned your back on the word of the Lord? He did the same thing Saul did. Samuel and the Lord gave Saul a command and they didn't obey him. David's doing the same thing. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? So you have murdered Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband, with the sword of the Ammonites and stolen his wife. Why did this happen? Why did it happen? One word, jealousy. Jealousy. I was jealous of the relationship Rob had with Peggy. I was jealous, envious. However, what's the antidote? What's the antidote to jealousy and envy? Trusting God. Trusting the Lord. It's always the antidote. It's always the solution to our problems. Trusting the Lord. Putting our faith and trust in Him. God blessed me with a wife who is just right for me. A wife who knows how to handle me and all of my issues. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 6:9, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Let me say that again. Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. We're always desiring something else, always wanting something else, never satisfied with what we got. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, Solomon says, like chasing the wind. So, what are you chasing for? What are you chasing? What are you after today? What are you chasing? Is it the perfect look? Right? Is it the education? Is it the job? If I just get this job, I'll be happy. Is it the spouse? If I just can date this person, things would be great. I could just date them. If I could just get this house, if we could just trade out our house for this house, right? If I could just get this car, I could just get fill in the blank to work out for me. I can tell you from experience, you won't be happy until you have Jesus. You won't. Only He can satisfy the deepest longings and desires of your heart. We're going to close with some of my favorite verses. I have so many of them. Listen to what the Lord says in Isaiah 55:1-3. He says, is anyone thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for something more? The Lord says, come and drink even if you have no money. Come and take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why are you spending your time, energy, and effort on stuff that doesn't feed you, that doesn't fulfill you? Right? This lady in this opening video began to question, why are we spending all our strength and energy running to these football things every weekend? Right? I'm not sure that's sustaining and feeding us as a family. Why pay for food that does you no good? Why are you paying for this? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your what? Your ears wide open. Are you listening? Not to me, but to the Lord. Are you listening to what the Lord has to say to you? Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you the unfailing love I promised to who? David. I'll give you what I promised to David. Unfailing love. You see what the Lord has promised to David? He's promised to you and me. What must we do? Come to Him with our ears remember how we started this series? It was with a call. Do you remember what Samuel said when the Lord was calling him? He did not yet know the Lord. He heard him calling, and he said, "Speak, your servant is listening." And the question I have for you today is, are you listening? Or are you so busy chasing that you're not stopping to listen to what the Lord has to say to you? Because you're just chasing this thing right now. And it's eating you up inside, and it's filling up your time and your energy, and taking you away from what really matters the most. And that's your relationship with the Lord. David had a heart for the Lord. And the question is, where's your heart at today? Is it drifting? Does the Lord have a hold of your heart? Or does something else have a hold of your heart? What is it you've been reaching for? To fill that heart. Okay? Maybe you hear this today and you say, "Ed, I'm not a Christian. And I've been plugging putting all the things in this world into my heart, but it's not fulfilling me or satisfying me." And I realize that what I need today is Jesus. We're going to give you the opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Ed, I'm a Christian, but I feel like my heart is drifted. I've become so focused on this thing in my life that I haven't stopped to listen to the Lord because I've been so busy chasing, so busy reaching." Would you pray for me? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's powerful and it's convicting. Maybe you're here today with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you say, "Ed, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I have not been happy, and I know it's because I haven't made Jesus the Lord of my life. And I want to do that today." If that's you, then I want to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. "Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you." If you just prayed that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Ed, I'm a Christian, but I feel like I'm not doing what God wants me to do. I know I'm not living like he wants me to live. I've been reaching for other things, pursuing other things, chasing other things, believing that if I just get this thing, right, or if I can just be in a relationship with that person, that will fulfill me, that will satisfy me. And I realize how hollow and empty and silly that is to believe that. And I realize now that what I really need is Jesus. Lord, I pray for myself and my brothers and sisters that we would put down the things that we've grabbed a hold of and think that we need. That we stop reaching for the things that we don't have, believing they will satisfy us. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing.